Good evening, everyone. This is the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee meeting for March 9th, 2021. My name is James Sagerton. I'm the chair. We believe we have established a quorum, so I'm going to ask our secretary to take the roll.
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams?
Here.
Teresa J. Allen?
Present.
Nick Arena? Here. Fred Blair?
Present.
Chris Corey?
Here.
I guess that was Chris. Lyndon Foley?
Here.
Elizabeth Vaughn Gunton?
Here.
Julie Hewitt?
Here.
Or Paul Martin here, James Sagerton?
Here.
Anita Sims?
Here.
Okay, that's 11. The whole committee is here.
Thank you, R. Paul. R. Paul, your sound is not good. I don't know if there's anything you can do about it, but I just want you to know that it's a little difficult to hear you.
It's going to be like that, I think. My landline is dead, but I haven't used a cell phone. So I will put this right up against my mouth and talk, and hope people can hear me. Maybe I just wouldn't say much.
Understood. You are intelligible, but it takes a little effort. But we'll put the effort in.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Just point of information, because I couldn't quite hear him. Is everybody on this call?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we've now had the roll call, and we're going to move to the agenda. I'm going to read the agenda for the benefit of those on the stream and anyone here who can't see it. So first we have number one is convene the meeting at 8:30 p.m. We are obviously a little late, having had some technical difficulties with the phone calls. Number two is the roll call. Number three is adopt the agenda. Number four is the chair's announcements. That'll be 10 minutes tonight. Number five is minutes approval, 2 minutes. Number six, review the number six is going to be eliminated. It was review the KPFA draft budget. But we're going to be postponing that to the next meeting. So number seven becomes number six, and that is the ICFO report, 60 minutes report and question and answers. Number seven is discussion of chair and secretary election procedure for 10 minutes. Number eight will be nominations for secretary and chair, 5 minutes. Number 10 is reports from the stations on budget timeline progress, KPFK and KPFT specifically, 15 minutes. Number 10 is unfinished business. Number 11 is new business. Number 12 is adjourned no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time. Is there any discussion or additions or subtractions from the agenda?
This is Teresa. I have a question.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Is there going to be anyone reporting to us? I'm not a national board member, but I would like to know if the national board has any headway or any report on the situation involving the large loan that's due.
We are discussing that regularly. We've had executive sessions on that. We could perhaps discuss some of that in executive session here if desired. We are involved in we will be involved or are involved in negotiations on the loan with the lender. So of course that's going to be proprietary information. So
is there anyone else other than, maybe we should put this on the agenda if there's any other person other than me that would like to hear, Because I'm hearing lots of rumors like, oh, they're going to sell your property, you know, in Houston. You know, you're selling it. They're selling us down the river. You know.
Okay, so, Teresa.
I'm just wondering if there's anyone.
If you would like to put that on the agenda, why don't you make a motion to add an item to the agenda? Think of a time that you'd like to spend on it. We can discuss it when we get to it. How does that sound?
Either that, or I could suggest that we put schedule an executive session at our next meeting for that report.
We could probably have an executive session at this meeting.
Who was that?
Or we could put it under unfinished business, and we could determine if there's anyone in addition to me that wants that information.
All right. I think it would be under new business, however.
All right. Okay.
So why don't we do that when we get to new business, and we'll make an extra effort to actually get there.
Okay.
James, sometimes we don't get that far. Who's that?
This is Chris.
Hi, Sorry. Chris. Yes?
I think that there's quite a bit of sensitive information in that subject, and it really would be better if we could go to executive session for it. So under new business, perhaps we could schedule an executive session, and if it flows over into the next meeting, we'll pick it up then.
Do you want to make an amendment to Teresa's motion?
Yeah, I'd like to amend Teresa's motion that we go into executive session for new business.
All right. Any discussion on that?
Mark Paul, can you hear me?
Oh, much better, yeah.
Okay. What if there's other new business? That's my whole thing. There might be other new business. I don't know.
Guess not.
The motion, this is Beth. The motion could read that, propose that we go into closed session for this item, this specific item under new business. In case there are other items under new business that show up during the meeting.
All right,
yeah,
that's what I intended.
So that sounds fine.
That sounds like it. R. Paul, do you have any?
I need some words. Go into executive session for discussion of the loan under new business.
Okay. And do you want to put a time on that, or just leave it open?
If it's new business, it just goes to the end of the whole thing.
Okay. All right, and then we can discuss it when we get there. And as I say, we'll make an effort to get there.
May I ask one other thing?
Yes, go ahead.
If we are possibly going into executive session, could the secretary send everyone the code for executive session right now so we are all sure that we have it in case it's needed?
There is no code for executive session. They just cut the thread, just cuts the feed.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Very good. Thank you, Arpa.
Let me bring up the idea. All right. So everybody else agrees that going into an executive session that hasn't been noticed is just fine, right?
Mm.
I don't like it. I disagree with it, but if everybody else agrees, that's it.
This is Beth.
Go ahead, Beth.
I think there are probably noticing requirements that we would better acknowledge and honor in advance rather than blunder across an inadvertent violation. And so I would suggest that we probably should agendize this for a future meeting in order to comply with that, given that I don't think that we can qualify it as an emergency. I mean, there are exceptions for emergencies, but right now we're not actually in an emergency. So,
Chris Corey to the stand.
Fred for the stack.
Are you done, Beth?
For the moment, yes. Thank you.
Go ahead, Chris.
I believe that you can schedule an executive session at any particular time. You don't. It doesn't need to be noticed. It can become part of the meeting. So I don't think anybody other than the committee itself needs to know that. In any case, if I'm incorrect about that, I'm sure that our Paul will correct me. Thank you.
Fred?
Go ahead, Fred.
The CPP open meeting requirements refer only to the open meeting. There needs to be notice only for the open meeting. Once you have a legal open meeting, you can go into executive session by majority vote. That's my understanding. CPP doesn't state anything about executive sessions. They're concerned more with the open meeting requirements. The notice for the open meeting require. That's it.
Thank you, Fred. Arpaul, did you want to respond? Arpaul?
He may have dropped off.
Yeah, I hope we haven't lost our secretary. We need him to keep the minutes.
This is Beth.
Go ahead, Beth.
I'm just prepared to defer to anyone like Fred who has more particular information about what the requirements are and aren't. I'm just was trying to err on the side of caution.
But we appreciate
thank
that.
You, Fred.
Fred, can you see if our Paul has dropped off?
That's my from looking at Maestro. That's my understanding. He's not listed.
Okay, he is having difficulty. My phone is chiming and telling me I'm getting messages, but I'm not looking at them. Does anybody see, is our Paul communicating?
Nothing via email.
Anybody see any texts? I don't want to go off my screen on my phone so I don't lose the meeting.
I'm not getting anything.
Okay. Who was that?
It was Anita. I was checking.
Bob Walsh coming back in.
Oh, good, good. Good to hear your voice, R. Paul. We were waiting for you. Do you think you'll be okay?
Well, we'll see. I don't know. I just got bounced out.
Okay. What shall we do if we lose the secretary? Proceed with the meeting, and then you would make minutes from the Maestro record?
I would have to figure it out. But, yeah, you should go ahead. If you lose me, you lose me, but I'll try to get back in. The cell phone is flaky, but the landline is dead, so that's it.
Yeah, I understand. All right, well, thank you very much. In any case. So,
could I ask our folk? Can I ask all for a question? Is your landline dead for any calls, not just Maestro?
There is no dial tone.
Okay. Thank you.
That's pretty dead. Okay. So let's try and settle this question of the agenda. We're already out of time. I think we should have an extension for time to set the agenda. Would anybody like to extend so we can settle this executive session?
There's no time. Mr. Chair, there's no time on the agenda.
Setting the agenda
takes the time it takes.
I'm sorry. You're correct. That's right. We don't put time on that. So let's I want to ask Teresa. Teresa, do you feel that this is an emergency where we need to discuss it this time, or could we wait and do it next time after agendizing it?
Well, that's fine with me. That's fine.
Okay.
Sharon for the stack.
Go ahead, Sharon.
I think Fred just said that and explained the CPB rules that there's no notice requirement. So this is taking a lot of time, but I do believe it's appropriate to at least try to put on the agenda the executive session for today. And then if it doesn't fit, of course, we can do it, you know, in the next meeting also. But Fred explained that the rules don't require a notice for an executive session.
And I thank you for that. And that comports with some of my knowledge, but I'm also sensitive to the idea that about the CPB rule. Arpal, did you have any further comment on that?
Well, yeah, I've quoted this before. It seems to me like we do have to do it. And I will say again that for, you know, more than a decade, it was drummed into us that we can't do that. And then suddenly a year or two ago, the PNB said, yeah, we can do this anytime we please. So I don't know. It's up to everybody.
I think it may be because some people are reading and relying on Robert's rules, not knowing or understanding that the CPB rules are separate from that. So I think if Teresa is willing to put the matter off till next time, I'd feel more comfortable with that. And in the meantime, we can, you know, get some more information on the question. Is that okay with you, Teresa? Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I would actually rather have it on the agenda tonight. I hate to create a conflict here and make people uncomfortable, but I really think that it is actually okay. The CPB notifications are only required for open session meetings. I think we're perfectly fine to go into closed session if we need to do that. And it seems like there's information that the board would like to hear, or not the board, the committee would like to hear. And it would be good to convey it. So I will leave it up to the body, but I would offer the motion that we put an executive session in new business as an item to discuss the loan.
I'm going to make a couple of comments about that. And one is that some of this proprietary information is known to the directors and not known to the treasurers that are on the call who are not directors. And so I'm curious as to whether there's any difficulty with things that the PNB has determined should be confidential and closed to the public being discussed among those of us who are not directors. That's one question. Let's just ask about that one first. Is anybody have any comment on that, R. Paul, in particular?
Well, that is a concern, I suppose. Mostly a concern for the directors that they want to step in something, I guess.
Julie to the stack.
Go ahead, Julie.
Hi, I just looked up the CPB requirements for closed meetings. It doesn't say anything about advance noticing. The most important thing that we have to do is, of course, have, you know, an appropriate written report out of what we discussed, you know, high level, of course, but of what we discussed.
Yeah, and I think the public noticing of a closed session is mostly important so that all of the board members can be adequately notified. Because the public can't be there, it doesn't really matter whether the public is noticed or not, I think. And that notice is, again, mostly for the members of the committee. And since we're all here, I guess that condition would be moot. So I think we've discussed it to death. Anybody else have anything further?
Beth with a question.
Go ahead, Beth.
I know we've been through this on our own local LSB, so I bring up the question here now. Do we have signed confidentiality agreements in place with everyone that would otherwise be eligible for the closed session on record?
No.
Because that's necessary.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what kind of non-disclosure agreement we have with the lender. And there was some initial controversy over whether the lender's information could be uttered publicly.
Right.
So,
Teresa for the stack.
Go ahead, Teresa.
James, I don't know who you're speaking for, but I have signed a confidentiality agreement as a member of the KPFT LSB.
I have not. Not as a member of the PNB or the LSB.
Arpal?
So that sounds like an uneven policy. Go ahead, Arpal.
Yeah, I signed one many years ago, but it's probably been lost by Pacifica by now.
All right. I'm seeing that there's some issues that I would like to iron out before we do this. But we have a motion on the floor and an amendment. So why don't we go to a vote and see where we get by that process? So,
Beth, with
go ahead.
One final comment.
Yes, Beth.
If it makes any difference, having sat through the closed sessions as a PNB director, there's not a lot more in the way of specifics that we have in the moment than what James has already covered. I don't think there'll be a lot of new information come out. Everything else is speculative and in the middle of negotiation. So everything else is moving. And that's the part that we're not supposed to talk about, right? So we're not the ones with that particular information. We received information from the attorney, and we don't have his particulars here tonight. So I'm not sure it would be all that satisfying for those who would like to have the closed session to actually receive what little more we have. I think James has already pretty much covered what we're free to say.
Thank you for that observation, Beth. So unless I hear anybody willing to withdraw amendments or motions, I think we should go to a vote so that we can move on.
James, this is Chris.
Ahead, Chris.
I'll withdraw my motion. I actually agree with what Beth just said. There isn't actually that much to report. That's fine. I'll withdraw.
Thank you. And Teresa, you made the original motion. Would you be interested in withdrawing? And we can look into this and then agendize it for the next time if it's appropriate.
That's fine with me. In case you hadn't noted, I said, is there anyone else in addition to me that wants to hear this? So that's fine with me.
I did hear you say that. I just wanted to ask again. Okay.
Mr. Chair, ask the committee if anybody objects to that. That way, if nobody objects, it's unanimous and it's withdrawn.
Understood. Is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll consider that withdrawn. So, let's see, we read the agenda, so now we're ready to ask if there's any further discussion on any other additions or subtractions from the agenda. Anything else for the agenda or any objection, anything on the agenda? So now I'll ask, was that Teresa?
No, I didn't say anything.
Okay. So now I'm going to ask you, is there any objection to adopting the agenda as is? Hearing none, we'll consider that adopted, and we'll move now to the chair's announcements. And I scheduled 10 minutes for this because it's a little bit more than usual. And in the announcements, it reads as follows. The following announcement was made in this space last week, this space referring to chair's announcements. Quote, at the aforementioned February 18, 2021 PMB meeting, the chair incorrectly read the NFC motion to establish a new central services formula. At the next PMB meeting, the chair will offer a motion to rescind the resolution and substitute corrected language as passed by the NFC. The chair takes full responsibility for the error and is investigating how it happened. Well, the chair has investigated how it happened, and the answer is it didn't happen. The investigation is complete and has revealed that there was no error in the reading of the language of the central services formula. I went back to the recording of the February 18th, 2021 Pacifica National Board open session, part 2, at 5 minutes 50 seconds into the recording, and made the final following transcription in red of my reading of the Central Services Formula motion from the NFC. Motion that the Central Services Formula be based on a sick, because the word A should not be in there, 15% of total revenue of the stations calculated quarterly. All revenue is to be included in the calculations. However, the cost of air conditioning for the Pacifica Radio Archives should, SIC, should have read shell, be deducted from KPFK's revenue, and tower, studio, and office rent for all stations shall be deducted from their revenues. The following language in red of the same motion as reported by the Secretary of the NFC in the minutes for the January 19th, 2021 FC meeting is essentially identical. I won't read it again because with the exception of that additional word A and having read should instead of shall, the wording is exact. So, okay, that's all there is in the way of announcements.
Sharon, for the stack, if possible, Jane.
Sure, Sharon, go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to comment. I really appreciate you reading that again, actually. And, you know, since that time, I've had conversations with our business manager, and, yes, she'll be on the call in 2 weeks. But the total revenue, you know, what happened in this was that everybody, all the other stations got deductions, but there was no deductions given for anything at KPFA. And, in fact, James, I understood that you had called other stations and asked, but you didn't, as far as I know, call KPFA and ask about any deductions that we might want. And as it works out, under this new formula, our central services payment appears to be increasing $115,000 per year. And that is just simply not doable. So I guess I'm just wondering, and I guess I just want to state that for the record, because, you know, you can pass formulas, but as we all know, I guess central services numbers just become percentages that are carried on the books or something. I mean, they have to have some basis in reality. So I guess I just wanted to say that since this issue had arisen again.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Sharon, and I'm going to respond to you briefly, but suggest that we don't go into a full discussion of that because this is just the chair's announcements that we're in. But I believe we're going to have to revisit the central services formula. I think the difference there is that we included all income. It used to be based just on fund drive income. And so it does need more work. It also needs the completion of the national office budget, which we began work on last time, but we need to do further work on. The two are intertwined, inextricably so. So I take your point, and I know we need to revisit that since that we're in. But obviously we will.
You know, James, I really appreciate that. And just if I could just respond, I was also wondering if we, as the NFC, might want to review the Pacifica Radio Archives budget, since we're doing like the national office and we did the affiliates. It might seem to make sense. But I just wanted to put that out there, and I really appreciate what you said on the revisiting the central services formula. Yes, I agree. We should do that.
Yes, we will be taking up the PRA budget eventually. So, all right, so let's go on and go back to the regular agenda. Now we're up to minutes approval, and Mr. Secretary, I understand we have minutes for approval.
Yes, I move that we approve the minutes of the February 23rd, 2021 NFC meeting.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, they are approved, as always, subject to correction or addition or subtraction at a later date. And I just want to take a moment to thank our Paul. We were all sent those minutes. I hope everybody had a chance to look at them. But they're really exceptional. He goes into excellent detail. He records everything that happened of an official nature. He does a really good job with these minutes, and it's really appreciated. And I mean that sincerely. Okay, let's go to number six, which is eliminated from the agenda because it was review the KPFA draft budget, but there were last-minute complications with that, so we're putting it off for 2 weeks. Now we can go to item number seven, which is the ICFO report. We have 60 minutes scheduled for the report and question and answers, and if we don't use all of that time, we'll have extra time. So, Anita, do you have a report for us?
I certainly do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you have in front of you the narrative that we supplied for the January internal financial statements and also the spreadsheet, if you wanted to kind of follow along, I'll try to be brief. I will not read the whole thing, but just point out some variances, if you will.
Anita, I'm going to ask you to wait just a moment while people locate that.
Okay.
It's in the email. Anita, can you read the title out?
Yes. And who sent the email? Excuse me.
I did. Pacifica Foundation financial narrative.
And Anita, to help people find it, can you say when it was sent?
I sent it out yesterday, but I had sent it out before.
This is Lyndon. I have one from 3-8 at 6:03 a.m.
I think that's the one I'm thinking of, 3-8. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll just wait a moment for everybody to get there. If people can chime in when they find it, let me know where we are.
I found it. Thanks for giving the date, Lyndon.
I got it up as well.
Thank you, Chris.
I am not seeing it. If someone can send it to me, I'd appreciate it. Unless it's under, I'm looking under Anita Sims.
yes. It would have come from myself.
What's the title again, Anita? I have Pacifica January Financial Statements and Narrative.
Yes, that's correct.
Yep. Oh, and it's got brackets in front of the subject line. It says Nat Feinkamp, you know, Nat, our email address, National Finance Committee.
My error. Okay, thank you. I was in the wrong folder. Not looking in my inbox. Sorry.
No worry. Okay, is everybody pretty much there now? Okay, Anita, do you want to start? Anita, shall we start with the narrative? Or how do you want to do it?
I generally am looking at both, but let's just look at the narrative. And I will point out for the consolidated report, I generally like to start there. I'll also give the line item. So you could, if you have it in front of you, the spreadsheet, you can follow with me. Again, I'm looking at the first tab, and it says consolidated on the spreadsheet, and I'm kind of looking at the narrative. Again, the narrative for January 2021. And it says financial dashboard, consolidated report. And this is the operating gain or loss without depreciation. So we're saying net income year-to-date through January 31st, is $1,000,000 versus 5,000 negative net income year to date as of last January, showing an overall an income of $1.1 million. But before we all get excited on that, that is because we went ahead and recognized the first PPP loan that we received, the $1.2 million that was forgiven in full.
Okay.
So I will say
that was the loan.
Pardon me?
I'm sorry.
Okay. So, I mean, January's financial really looked much improved, if you will. So, again, on the consolidated level, total revenue year-to-date through January 2021 is $4.8 million versus $3.97 million from a year prior. So it's an increase of $856,000 or 22%. Again, mostly due to the recognition of the PPP loan forgiveness. Total expenses on a consolidated level, we saw a decrease of about $268,000 or 7%. So I'll let you to see if you have any questions just on that before we kind of drill down on the station level.
Yes, this is Lyndon for the SAC.
Yes, Lyndon.
Go ahead, Lyndon.
What month was the forgiveness? Was it November?
It was forgiven November 4th.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions before I go forward? And I'm going to click on the next tab, and that's KPFA. So, again,
does everybody see where the tabs are down at the bottom of your screen? It says consolidated. There are tabs there. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Anita.
That's all right. I was just going to point out that I'm talking about net income, if you will, for each station. And that is on line 36 of the spreadsheet. So the only point for the station that I wanted to make is net income for the period is $363,000 compared to prior year to date income of $53,000. So, again, their portion of the PPP was $365,000. Any question? Again, so it made a big difference, no doubt, for all.
This is Lyndon again. So it would have been $2,000 versus $52,000 or $53,000 prior year?
Correct.
Okay.
And prior year is column Z, if you follow where I'm at, 36 line in column Z. So, and yes, prior year was 53,000. So had it not been for that, 365,000 really revenue would have been much lower, if you will. Any questions so far?
And so we're just getting a heads up, Anita, that forgiven PPP covers a lot of
yes.
Otherwise not great news.
Yes. But my job is just to point these things to you, so that's what I'm trying to do.
Appreciate it.
Again, the financials do look better, but the variances in this where I wanted to kind of point out some of the items, like for WBAI, shows a loss for the period of $35,000 compared to prior year loss of $115,000. So that PPP dollars that they received at $94,000, really, they did well, much improved situation, if you will. Now, WPFW shows a net gain of $137,000 for the period compared to a prior year-to-date gain of $21,000. Again, they received $111,000 in PPP funds.
This is Lyndon. On WBAI, line 31,
yes, let me
correct.
Go to that.
They have a, okay.
All right, I'm there.
and they had a net income loss year to date of 34.7.
Yes.
And that includes 99,000 of PPP funds.
Yes.
Correct. So it would have been $134,000 loss versus $114,000 loss or $115,000 loss?
From prior year. And I wanted to point out the PPP funds that we banked it, quite frankly, in miscellaneous other income, so we isolated it there. I know.
Okay, thank you.
Have other revenue also on there.
And can so, I point so, – can I point something out to everybody?
Go ahead, Linda.
If you would take your cursors and put it on like, on line six and, cell, C6 or something, then hit freeze panes and freeze both panes, then you'll be able to get to this stuff and see it and know what line you're on. In what month you're in, and it'll be much easier for y'all to follow along.
Yes. And Linda, if there's any recommendations that you have, and we could hide some of these columns. It's a very, very busy spreadsheet, no doubt.
Yes, I hide columns quite regularly, but I really like to freeze the panes, you know, so I can always see the months, no matter if I'm down on line 120, you know.
Correct. Good point. Any other questions?
Oh, this is Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
Just to be clear, Anita, I think you said it, but like looking at the WBAI spreadsheet, okay, the PPP loan income is shown on, that would be line 12, miscellaneous other income in January. Okay, so when we see a large miscellaneous other income on the other ones, that's going to be the PPP income.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
And maybe next month, again, depending on audit, what I think we talked about was just making a line for just say PPP. Because I know some stations also use this miscellaneous other income, and like that, we will not commingle, if you will. We obviously are hoping that we have a second PPP to receive forgiveness at some point.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Anita, I just want to be clear. You're saying that you're hoping we'll get forgiveness on the second draw, and that will be reflected as income at that time. You're not
correct.
Saying that there's another PPP coming, which I think is we're more pessimistic about. Yeah, okay, thank you.
And the reason we obviously can't record it until it has been that we received the letter for forgiveness.
Right.
It really should be shown on the balance sheet status, if you will. Again, just reading out some highlights of the report. So total revenue year-to-date through January 2021 is 4.8 versus 3.97 year-to-date of January 2020. So an increase of 856, and I think I'm repeating myself there, but listener support is above prior year at 2.95 million versus 2.7 for January 21, an increase of 235,000. And if you would like to go to look at the listener report by station, we can do that. I'm at KPFA. And that would be line 8. So line 8, column X, if you will, is really where year-to-date total income is for KPFA. So ahead by, from prior year, by 586,000. And that number also is right next to it on Z and AA column. Any questions so far? I realize I'll talk fast sometimes. Is there any questions on revenue?
Teresa, may I ask a question?
Go ahead, Teresa. Yes.
Okay, I'm looking at the narrative rather than the spreadsheet, and I'm looking at total revenue by unit, and you say KPFA shows an increase of 307K or 20% over FY20. And everybody shows an increase except KPFT. Bummer. So I guess the question I have to ask you is, do you have any idea why ours went down, other than the fact that we got a lot less PPP than everyone?
It would be Brooke on line 8, column X on the spreadsheet. It's really in listener support. Year to date is 176,000, and prior year was 248.
Okay. So that would have been, so this is from
January.
Line 8, looking at KPFT.
Column X.
Yeah, just a quick correction. This is Chris Corey. It's year to date through January is what that column is.
Right. Sorry. You're exactly right. I think I said year to date, but then I was really pointing out January where the PPP funds were recorded. And the column next to it is Z. You'll see where we have prior year to date. So I'm comparing those two columns, so there's a variance of about 72,000.
So this is comparing January up to January, I mean December of up to January of 21 comparing January of 20.
Correct.
Okay.
And Anita?
Yes, sir.
Just by way of explanation for that, I think, can that be attributed at least partially to the difficulties KPFT was having with their fund drive because their building was closed and they were not, the remote broadcasting was, it wasn't live, so it was not generating the enthusiasm that is normally generated in a fund drive, you know, all those issues that they were having with not being able to get in the building.
Correct. And frankly, I'd like to go back and add it to the narrative, again, just for reference, that we have it documented, if you will.
Was there something you wanted to add, Anita? Is that what you were saying?
Yes, I wanted to, for the same station, for KPFT, I did want to add that expenses were lower. If you look at line 24, column X, expenses are $177,525. Prior year for the same period, it was $222,000. So about a 20% decline. So that was good. So when you look at the net income or loss, if you will, line 33, same column, X, you see that the gain there was $12,838 net income versus
from line 33 from X to Z.
Correct. You see the $12,838, that was net income year to date.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at prior year, they ended at $10,835. So really only a $2,000 variance. And it was because expenses were lower. Obviously the $35,000 helped also of the PPP funds. But revenue was down. That's my point.
Do we know what explains the expenses being lower? Perhaps the people from the station may know because their building was closed, and were there things that expenses that weren't incurred because the building was closed or anything along those lines?
I would like to say, you know, obviously we could not reach we could not appeal to the listeners, and our maybe we didn't send out enough letters, maybe the letters were not compelling, maybe we didn't have as many vehicle donations, we didn't have events.
It's great for the snack.
If you look at line 58, consultants' hands, contractual. Really, the major variance is right there. It's variance is $18,000 on expenses.
Mm. I see that.
Chris, so Corey, for the sec.
If I understand it correctly.
Hold on 1 second, Chris.
So yeah. If I understand this correctly, the year before we had more consultants, we reduced numbers. It went from 23,000 in consultants the year before. It went down to 5,000. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. All
right. And are those fund drive consultants? A lot of times consultants are people involved in fundraising or pitching on the air. I don't know if that's the case at KPFT. Teresa,
no,
do you know that? And what about premiums? I don't know to the extent that you guys use premiums.
This is Lyndon. No, it's not people who do fund drives. It'd be other consultants, temps, and contractors. And we do use premium. And normally we use a lot of premiums, like tickets and stuff. And so they're not doing any tickets because nobody can go anywhere, right?
Right.
Well, our tickets don't cost us anything, but yeah, we didn't have premiums, which would encourage people to give.
And that would lower the expenses. Yeah. Chris is trying to get in here. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, the other category, the vast majority of the reduction in expenses was in the administrative category. If you go down through that category, virtually every line item in that category had a reduction. The most significant one was the one that Anita mentioned, the consultants one, but also office supplies. Obviously, if there's nobody in the office, the need for office supplies is pretty minimal, and you had a 73% reduction in office supplies expenses for your administrative costs. Between those two categories, that's basically 100% of the difference in the administrative category.
Thank you, Chris.
I could ask the other members on the Finance Committee, am I correct in seeing you had the similar problems to us in that you were not in your building or you had the same issues with pandemic, but you raised more money. So somehow your message was more compelling or your social media was more compelling or your website was more effective or somehow your staff was more efficient than ours somehow. So I'm trying to figure out what it is, but I guess I need to be working on it. If any of you have any other suggestions, feel free to email me or call me because I would love to figure out how we can make a difference moving forward.
I understood that your fund drives were suffering from the lack of remote broadcasting. You weren't live. You were, you know, you were using canned programs, and, you know, it was not, it didn't have that fresh feeling. It was more of a stale presentation that you get when you're not live on the air. And I had understood that that was harming your fundraising, but, you know, you'd have to confirm that.
Well, I don't want to take up any more time. Thank you very much for explaining a few things to me. And if anybody has any suggestions, feel free to contact me on the side here. Okay?
Our Paul, first question.
I think I heard our Paul and Chris, but let's hear our Paul because he hasn't spoken on this yet. Go ahead, our Paul.
This isn't quite exactly what we're discussing right there. But looking at the idea that people aren't able to be in the building, and you mentioned last time there's this massive mold issue and somebody stole a water heater and all of this stuff, one of the things I know that can happen when a building gets, messed up and people aren't in it is things like utilities and stuff like that can still be getting billed. And depending on whether something's gone wrong, you can end up with a gigantic bill. Do you know if is there anybody going there to make sure that, like, there isn't water gushing out of something, or that there's no big short circuit so that you're running an electricity bill that's going to be gigantic? So that's just something I'm kind of wondering about right here.
Well, we did not have a huge jump in water or electricity, and our new general manager, I think, is really very proactive and trying to review, and has a lot of technical expertise that will make it a big difference in looking at some of our expenses.
Okay, So despite people not being there, you are getting your usual bills and you're able to track it.
This is Lyndon for the stack. That's correct, Arpal. That's correct.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, and my understanding is also that the new general manager has been at the building a lot. He's been making improvements. There's a fence that's gone up, some other things that are, you know, so I believe he's there quite a bit. But again, people from Texas probably know that better than I do.
Lyndon for the stack.
Go ahead, Lyndon.
For the stack.
Yeah, Chris. Lyndon, do you mind if we go to Chris? He's been waiting.
Not at all.
Thank you, Lyndon. Go ahead, Chris.
I just wanted to precaution Teresa. Sometimes the timing of fund drives has something to do with how all this plays out, too. Obviously, when stations are in fund drive, they perform better than when they're not in fund drive, because that's the only time they're collecting revenue. So be careful when you're doing review periods to make sure that you include the same number of fund drive days. Otherwise, it distorts the figures. Anyway, that's a problem that I've run into during analysis for this sort of thing. So, word of the wise.
Good point.
Very good point, yes. And Lyndon?
So it might make a difference if we had a fund drive in January of 2019 compared to not having a fund drive in January of 2020 if our pledge drive didn't start until February. So I need to check
Correct.
That. Okay, yep. Thank you.
Yes. Lyndon, did you want to go?
Yes, please.
Go ahead.
Anita, I don't know how I missed this earlier, but I saw the October pension benefit number of $12,000. Can you tell us anything about that? It's on the KPFT.
Other than we have caught up whatever we're behind as far as paying to the station, that I would have to probably get a report from Cynthia on more particulars than that. I see it too now. Let me write that down. I'll get you an answer tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
What line is that?
40.
Thank you.
Yes. Sorry, I was writing. Any other questions? I only have one more comment that I had, because what I do is I look at the consolidated and then I go back through the stations to see, you know, where the majority of the reflection comes from, if you will. So major donor revenue year-to-date through January 21 is $84,000 versus $135,000 prior year. So it's a decrease of $51,000. And when I look at KPFA prior year, and that is line 11 on column X, if you're following me on the spreadsheet, year-to-date was $1,000, but prior year they had $70,000. Would love to know if that is no doubt a timing. Will that show up more so in February, if you will, as an example? I have no idea.